Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And he has so much to say. He loves his people. He cares about you. He cares about everything that you're doing. God wants to be, he wants to move mightily in our lives. See, sometimes that can sound like a cliche. I don't like cliches. They become meaningless. That's why I don't like them. And sometimes people seem to say good things as a cliche. So I want you to know, when I say that the Lord is moving mightily by the Holy Spirit, I mean it every time fresh. It amazes me what the Holy Spirit is capable of. And he is about his Father's business. Jesus was about his Father's business. The Holy Spirit is about the Father's business. And as Jesus is, so am I in this world. So I'm about the Father's business too. And I wear many hats. I'm a man that loves God. A man of God. He sent me to people. He sent me to you through this website here. And others. I'm a father. A friend to some. I'm a business owner. An entrepreneur at that, which means that you do everything in your, I'm the sole proprietor, so that's the hardest working businessman there is, because you have to do everything. I don't just fix cars, I go get parts, I do everything that's necessary, do my books. Only thing I don't do is my taxes, and a friend of mine does that for me, and I thank God for him. Now, in this audience, I want to solicit your prayers again. My friend, Rodney Anderson, he needs your prayers. He suffered a stroke, and I believe God for his total restoration. And so when people pray for others, our prayers avail much. And he is a real good friend of mine, and he helps me out so much. And I need him to be 100%, and God needs him to be 100%. When I asked y'all to pray for my speech so I could speak better, because my throat would, you know, I had interference, and I'm doing a whole lot better. So I want y'all to pray for my friend too. And anybody that's in your life, when you remember something, when you pray, your prayers avail much. God is listening. Some breakthroughs take more prayer than others, but you break through. You learn to break through. The Lord told me that healing is as easy as picking fruit. And I want people to know what God can do. The only way you'll know it for yourself is to pray and seek Him. Power on. Knock, seek, and ask. So when you do these things, you can go forward. My Bluetooth speaker just quit. Anyway. I try not to have interferences, noises like that, but sometimes it happens. Anyway, today is February the 8th. It's Tuesday, February 8th, 2022. And God wants to move in our lives. Now, all the broadcasts that I've been doing, yesterday's broadcast was about training. When we do the things of God, we need to know, we need his training, foundational training. Foundational training was the yesterday's broadcast. Today is going to be a little different. I expose the need, the protocols of God, the way he builds on a rock. And people have to share his heart. They have to share his heart and his love. They have to be foundational. The Sermon on the Mount helps us be foundational. We can always find Jesus when we live the Sermon on the Mount. When we keep our word, when we're merciful, when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, when we, you know, the pure in heart, they will see God. We need these foundational truths. And when we treat other people like God, like Jesus treats us, everything Jesus taught helps us to be likewise, like him. Now, his address to the seven churches. There's no trouble you can get in that the address to the seven churches can get you out of. Whatever you can get yourself into, what Jesus said to the seven churches can get you out of trouble and make you not only get you out of trouble, so you can not just survive this life, it will help you thrive in this life. And also you'll become foundational, a person that God can build upon. So that's what you want. So when God pours his anointing out on people to reap this harvest, he's looking for people that are trustworthy. Now, sometimes in life, if you listen to this broadcast, you want to know God. You're listening to somebody you've never met. God sent you to this broadcast, and you listen because you hear something that's of God, and it's going to help you understand your relationship with the Lord. When the Lord told me to do this, I watched people for years come so close to being involved with the great move of God. Then the devil would pull his strings and they'll collapse, and they caused the move of God to stop. Just when God was about to rest on the church, people leave. They get offended over something minor. And usually it's, sometimes it's Cain jealousy, Saul jealousy. It's preeminence problems, doubt, unbelief. Somebody thought it should have went one way, and it didn't go that way, so they got mad, took their toys, and left. And sometimes the pastors were really following God up to a certain point, but they didn't have the foundational training to hold such an anointing. See, the anointing that God gave them will multiply as you're faithful. As if you keep activating the anointing and being faithful with it, God is going to keep using you. And there's always more. But if if a pastor gets in pride, it has to stop. He messed the whole. It's not going to go any further. And God's going to work with him so that he won't end up lost. You know, I was listening to I think that was Bill Winston on TV last night. He saw a video with I want to see the same one he saw. Somebody was on See It Raw. They went to hell, then they went to heaven, and there were pastors that they didn't see in heaven. Some people don't make heaven because they stop following the Lord. They do like Demas and go back to the world. Some people don't share the things of God anymore, and they take another approach. They teach things to make people want to give money or something. He said he wasn't going to do it. He's just going to tell it like it is. I made that decision a long time ago. I saw people falling in hell. I take ministry very seriously. And it's sad to say, but everybody don't take ministry serious. I'm sorry, but they don't. They don't take it serious enough. So you can't make people take it serious. You can't make people love God. Just like you can't make people tithe. And I don't want to make people, coerce people to do something that they really don't want to do. If they give to this ministry, I want them to believe in it. And I want them to do it because they believe in it. And I welcome them to give. People do give. And I thank God for them. But I fix these cars. I don't mind fixing cars. I fix cars. If nobody gives, I'll fix a car and keep the ministry going. Now, when you have a heart to serve God, just like we read Titus yesterday, to the pure, everybody's pure. But to those that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing's pure. You got to remember that. That's hard to learn on your own. Because the Holy Spirit, he can see everybody. He knows the heart of every man. I don't. I would assume that people are like I am, just like you do. But there are people out there that love God. Sometimes the pastors that had blessed me, I thought for sure they would receive what God gave. But they acted like they surprised me in their ways and the way that they responded. And I said, Lord, what's going on? I just couldn't in the wheelhouse of my mind, you know, I use that term loosely, but people don't have wheelhouses anymore. You know, they used to have a water wheel it'll be by a creek, it'll turn the big wheel and they could grind flour and things like that. They run off a jack shaft and they could make, well, that's a wheelhouse, okay. So they usually kept their tools in there, whatever. But in the olden days, they don't have stuff like that now. So sometimes we pick up terms and people say, what is he talking about, a wheelhouse? Well, I just put it this way. It's not in my tool shed. You know, some things are just not in your thinking process. That's the point. So when you follow God and you're seeking him, there are elements that may not be in somebody's tool shed. And when people are wrong about things, they don't always know it. And these pastors were wonderful people, but they're of, whether they got offended, whether it was Cain jealousy, or whether it was they felt provoked because they wanted the preeminence, or they got in pride, or whatever it was. Because Paul had to tell Timothy, don't let people despise your youth. Now, you can't control people from despising your youth. In other words, don't give it credibility. You can't control what other people think, Timothy. But when they try to belittle you because of your young age, see, he got his from his mother, which got hers from her grandmother. See, the gift that was found in his grandmother was found in him. See, they don't know what he went through in life to get to the point where God could use him. Sometimes people get offended against you because of your age, because you happen to get something from God at a much younger age, whether it's an office or an anointing or abilities to use faith. You did the training that was necessary. An elder don't have to be an old person in the kingdom of God. It's whoever is a student. And sometimes people they choose not to be students, or sometimes they come from people that were seeking God and they grew up learning the things of God. So though he's a young man in his 20s, possibly, I don't know how old he was, but he was learning of God his whole life. So it's wise for God to use him because he has the training. So I went to church all my life. I was raised by pastors, my mother and my father and my mother. They were dedicated to ministry. I lived in that house. Even though I wasn't a Christian until I was much older, I had to break through myself. But I still went to church a lot. And the Lord worked with me. And as I studied Christ, I learned, and the Lord helped me. I became mature. And then, you know, when it was time, and I didn't choose to do all these things, God told me to do it. Everything I did, he told me to do it. You know, in Judges chapter 10, it says, after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Pua, son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamar in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died, and was buried in Shamar. After him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities, which were called Havoth Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Kemon. Now, this man was possibly one of the best fathers in Israel ever. He had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities. These were capable men. Men of renown. Men that loved God with passion. You know, a lot has to be said that they rode on 30 ass colts. I don't know much about Jewish tradition and what that means, but I know that this is significant. They had 30 cities, which are called Havothjir unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And they judged Israel. Now, when you there are people who break through the wiles of the world. They break through the realms of Satan. They break through and they do it God's way. And they get training. The Lord is working with them. So, and there are those who God gave them something. He gave them a calling, but they didn't make their calling and election sure. Many are called, but few are chosen. Some people, they are called, God is working with them, but they're not chosen because they don't choose to continue in the things of God. They opt out. And remember the protocol of Ezekiel. If a man is a sinner, and if he gets saved, if he comes to the Lord and repent of his wickedness, all of his wickedness will be forgotten. And if a righteous man comes to a point that he starts sinning, all of his righteousness will be forgotten. Now, with the New Testament mind, or modern Christian mind, we used to say, well, that was Old Testament. New Testament believers kind of put themselves out of the equation. Well, guess what? Those protocols are alive. If they were alive in the Old Testament days when God winked at sin, and now he commands us to repent, they are more alive now. So, put it this way. I'll talk about Cain jealousy sometime. He was the first murderer, okay? Besides Satan, he was the first human murderer, all right? When he killed his brother, he was so motivated by his jealousy that he didn't think. After he killed his brother, he was sorrowful. Now, Saul is much older. I mean, he can look back and read about what Cain did. He knew about what Cain did being a king of Israel. He knew not to kill people just for pride reasons. But he didn't care. He had handled holy things. He was anointed to be king. He made good judgments when he first started. But he started loving the power more than he loved God. He was called, but was he chosen? No, he was fired. God had to fire him and raise up somebody better than him, and he knew this. He didn't say, well, I deserve to be fired. I didn't do right. I should have killed the king of Agag. And I should have stuck with what God. He didn't take the high road. And God could not establish him. He stuck with the evil. He let evil become his God instead of God. He loved power more than he loved God. So the leaven grew till he tried to javelin David. Then he got mad and threw another javelin in the wall because he was mad at Jonathan for helping David. Then he went hunting David, had men out to kill David. Then when he found out that the priest, that David was there and the priest let him eat the showbread, he killed the priest. So don't tell me he went to heaven. He saw the witch. He tried to kill himself when he got wounded. That didn't work. Then he begged an Amalekite to kill him. That's how he died. Well, the words say that the Lord winked at it. Well, for his sake, I hope so. But if a man don't repent after being that wicked, you know, I don't see him going to heaven. See, the things of God, God is just, folks. He loves us. Now, when I ran into these jealousies, and I did run into them, and it always surprised me. I never expected it. So God had to deal with it. He can't build on it, so he had to go around them. And he taught me that. I'm not saying this just to be saying something new. I don't even like this. I wanted them to follow God way back then, but They chose other ways, other routes. They trusted what they thought. Now, this is the point. Now, he had me all this, the last 2 week broadcast, you know, he had me to do. Yesterday's broadcast was, foundational training. And before that, it was about, I got to remember it. One was called requirements. The other one was called, perfect foundations, or it was about foundations. How you know, when you look at these broadcasts, you have to proper foundations. I'm sorry, God gave me the titles after I do them, so I have to. I'm just relying on my memory. I don't have my website pulled up, but God is showing aspects of things that, and the people didn't see it. See. When Jesus said that the lukewarm church, it was wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They were blind. And he started off when he told them that they didn't see, they didn't know that they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They didn't know it. And so the things that caused these pastors not to be chosen, it was because it wasn't in their wheelhouse, their tool shed. It wasn't in their thinking. So the Lord has to deal with the problem. And he cares about all. He loves them too. He said, now look at this. He said, unto the church, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. They become tares in their ways, in their thoughts and opinions. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich, that's their evaluation. They say, I'm rich, and increased with goods, and they have need of nothing. And they now watch this. They know not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They didn't know it. They couldn't see it. They couldn't tell that they had walked out of the will of God, just like King Saul. He didn't even know he was messed up. He didn't even know he was living. He was so, his focus was on murdering David for power. Now, what's God going to do? You just killed a man more righteous than you, and you're going to stand in God's presence? Really? But people can be so blinded by evil that that's what they'll believe. Now, today is brought. I went all the way around the world to say this. The point is this: when you're following God, you're making your calling and election sure. You're training. You're listening. You're regarding the Holy Spirit, and you're helping other people see. This is very important to know about, so that you don't make the same mistakes that others make. They can't see it when they go the wrong road. You have to make sure that you stay in the steady love of God. You have to keep all your motives pure. Whatever you do, don't do it because of vainglory. But whatever you do, do it because you love God, you love His people, you love His will, you love His word, you love His ways. See, I used to confess that as a failsafe, so that I don't get off track. They didn't know that they got off track. Once you get off track, you don't know it. If you want something that the devil got and you pursue it, you don't realize that you done left following God. You have clues. One of them is sorrow and depression. When you trust God, there's greater joy every time you trust God. When the rich young ruler decided not to obey Jesus, he walked away sorrowful. That's the beginning of his depression days. I don't know what happened to him after that, but if he said, Peter said, at your word, I dropped my net. He started. He didn't drop all the nets like he was supposed to. He dropped one. And it began to break, and his friends came and helped him, and they caught the load. So, but he found out. He said, Jesus, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. And he became a very dedicated man of God, full of joy. And he wrote about joy unspeakable, full of glory. You know, this is why you follow, when you follow God, your life becomes joy unspeakable, full of glory. But when you take the, when you take a detour, you start having unnecessary sorrows, and you can't tell why, and you don't really realize where it started. It started with the day you said, "Well, I'm not going to, I think I'm going to do it my way." Or you just ignore what God said and begin to do it. You don't even know where you changed the channel. You don't know when you got on the wrong track. And Satan make whatever he's doing look good. And it'll deceive you for a while. But then life will get overwhelming and you'll wish the rapture will come so you can get out of here. This is what happened to people when they deviate. And when the rapture comes, they're not going because they deviated. But they still have a love for God. But they have a greater love for the world, because whatever you trust, that's what you're going to obey. Every man obeys what he trusts. So it's important to know these things. God has people just like in Judges chapter 10 that rise above. And so when you love God, that causes you to rise above beyond other people's expectations. And some people will have Cain jealousy against you. You have to see it for what it is, know it for what it is, and don't let it bother you. If you're young and you have to minister to people and they seem to be provoked against you, forgive them. That's what the Lord taught me to do. Love them and forgive them. To help people receive what you have to say, you have to create peace. And I did things God's way. He taught me how to minister to people. Sometimes I work with people for a while, for a season, sometimes for years. I didn't just give them a message and leave. I gave it to whatever God gave me over a season of time. I would give some pastors more than others. Some pastors once or twice. Most pastors, some of them I worked with for a while, for years. But they still did what they wanted to do. But this is why I'm bringing all this up now, not to be messy, but that the people that God is bringing in, they don't know everything. They just have a pure love for God. In other words, people that want to know God, if they were taught by people who compromise, they'll be prone to compromise. And God being God, he cannot allow sin into heaven, folks. So he didn't risk the great harvest with people that didn't have a made up mind. He had to find people with his heart, his love. See, there's a scripture that says that the strong would be like God and the weak would be like David. And that's not just limited to Jewish people. See, the strong people are going to don't think that I'm wrong because it said that the strong would be like God. That's scripture. I put it to you another way that people can easily receive it. As Jesus is, in so are we in this world. We become like him. We operate like he do. When you do the works of God, you have to maintain the principles of God, just like Jesus did. He don't just love the people that love him. He loved everybody. Now, this is how it all works. He told his disciples, he said, "Let your light shine. Don't put it out. Don't hide it. So people won't be mad at you. Live the life of God. Stand up for what's right. Do what's right. Have a mind to do what's right first. Live the life of God. Represent Jesus. In character, in all of your ways, you got to maintain integrity before people. This helps people come out of darkness. See, the people that made the wrong choice, they're half dead. Okay, they half love God, they half dead. If they died now, they wouldn't go to heaven because they love the world somewhere. They're leavened. They live a compromised life. Okay. Just like the lukewarm church. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They don't know their condition. So for them, if we live the light of God's word, they can come out of darkness. The people that God sent you to bless, you have to maintain the love of God. Use your training that the Holy Spirit help you receive. Receive His training. Receive training from the Holy Spirit. To always take the high road as a way of life. If you got a wife that get on your nerve all the time, love her no different than the way Jesus loved you. Always respond in kindness. Always maintain your integrity. Always obey God when it comes to her. And encourage her to live. If you got a wayward husband, do the same thing. Always represent the Lord. Always honor Him according to the wisdom and guidance of the Lord. Ask God to help you with all of your family members. Pray for your children. Always pray for your children. I know children can be sneaky. They can do some stuff. But always represent Jesus until the end. For everybody you know, represent Jesus. Let your light shine. Because if they don't have a mind to live for Jesus, like Robert Smith Jr. used to sing about, and probably still do. I love that song. Anybody that don't have a mind to live for Jesus, you live for Jesus with full integrity. Be chosen. And you will win souls, and they'll be like you. People need this. And all the pastors that didn't do right, what I would do is live the life of God so they can come out of their demise. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in those who love Him. Remember, He loves us. Walk in His ways. Live the life of God's word. Stay in victory.